Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Transparency Therapy. My name is Andrea. Here we talk about mental health, how to build a better relationship with yourself, and everything in between. Today, we are currently on day 18 of Everyday January. We have passed the halfway point. I'm feeling a little bittersweet about it. It's going by really fast. I'm going to miss talking to you guys every day. But have no fear, because in February, I am starting regular uploads Wednesday and Friday. Still working out the logistics, exactly what my episodes will be, but there will be a theme each day. And I hope you tune in. If you have any comments, suggestions, anything you want to share with me at all, feel free to email me at transparencytherapy@gmail.com. So, today, what are we going to talk about? Well, you know, there's a topic that I think I have talked about, which is therapy. And I want to talk a bit more about that, because I realized I kind of just brush up about it often and I encourage it, but maybe you don't know where to start. Maybe you think it's not accessible to you. And let's just talk about that a bit. So my story with therapy is, well, I first saw a therapist back when I had a burnout when I was 21 years old. I'm currently 27. And to be honest, that first therapist was not a good fit for me. But to be fair, I think I was also just not ready to open up and to make the steps that I needed to find the answers within myself. But at the same time, if you aren't comfortable opening up to a certain therapist, then I recommend trying someone else. And it is not offensive. It happens all the time. So don't be afraid to jump around to see who works for you, because you are really sharing your life with this person and you need to feel comfortable. How did I initially find a therapist? So at that time, I was working at a clinic, and I just spoke to one of the doctors that worked there, and I said that I had had a burnout, and actually, this was months after the burnout. I didn't even see a therapist initially. I remember going to my doctor, and he had suggested it, and for some reason, I didn't accept going. I didn't understand that therapy was really for everyone, and I didn't understand how much it could help me. I thought that burnout was strictly situational and that it was strictly a result of my environment, and that it was because I worked on a very hard floor. I was very young when I started nursing. I was 19 years old, and I saw things that probably a 19-year-old shouldn't see. And I thought that my was strictly related to that. I had no idea that what I would later learn in therapy are these tools that basically help me understand myself better to prevent burnout from creeping up on you. Yes, my environment was a bit hostile to work in, but I could have handled the situation in a way that didn't leave me depleted of energy and ability to cope with the situation. I didn't understand that. So I had just taken a leave of absence for, I think, a month. Then I went back to work at the hospital and I couldn't handle it. And I ended up quitting my job in the hospital and I went to work at a clinic, because I said, The answers to my problems is I can't do shift work anymore. I can't do these 12-hour shifts anymore. I can't work every second weekend. This is just horrible. And the patient load was too hard. The patient population was very hard to deal with. I said, this will solve all my problems. It's strictly just because I don't like my job. So I went to work at the clinic and I just still wasn't happy. I was still feeling, I still felt like every day going to work, I didn't want to go to work. And you might all be laughing and saying, well, no one wants to go to work. There's a difference with just like, oh, I have to go to work today. That sucks. I'd rather, stay home. But this feeling was like of utter dread and anxiety, which I didn't know I had. And it was this pressure in my chest. It was, I would wish that I didn't have to go. And every day was the biggest struggle. And I remember feeling so exhausted. And I remember like there was stairs to go up in the metro. The metro is the subway in Montreal. We call it the metro. And I remember feeling so out of breath, just taking like two steps up these stairs. And it wasn't the type of exhausted that you feel like if you, like let's say you worked out and you feel exhausted after a workout. Like this was an exhaustion. Like my body felt paralyzed. Like I couldn't do simple things. Like I couldn't function. And I wasn't getting any help at this point. I was just feeling miserable. And I ended up staying at that job for a year. And then I was like, I can't do this either. And I thought, okay, maybe I have to go back to the hospital. Maybe it's this job that I just don't like. Maybe there's not enough nursing aspects of it. I was more of kind of a glorified secretary at the time that would do a lot of secretarial things, but then take blood tests, do like that. It wasn't really what I was looking for. So I was terrified to go back to the hospital because I was terrified to feel that dread, because the dread of the going to the hospital was still more of a dread than going to the clinic. And it's just this feeling of feeling trapped and like there's no way out. And I'll just be stuck in whatever job forever, and I'll never be happy, and there's never going to be a break. And I would spiral into these thoughts that this was forever, which is totally untrue. You don't know what's really going to come of your life and your job and your career, and you have so much more control out of it, of with it than you think. So I ended up doing a few odd jobs, working for kind of like freelance nursing, giving injections here, teaching in a hospital there. And I did that for a couple months. And then I said, okay, I'm going to go back to the hospital. And I found a place in the hospital that I could work that didn't have many night shifts and didn't have as many weekends, which was the recovery room. Now, just rewind a little bit. Before I started back in the hospital, I did go see a psychotherapist, and this is the one I was saying it wasn't the best fit with. I didn't feel like I got anything out of the appointments. I felt like I was talking, but I think I wasn't really being honest in what I was saying. And at the time, I was in a really unhealthy relationship, and I refused to admit that that was a big problem in my life. And I thought that everything was fine, and I thought that this relationship was the key of me figuring out life. And it really wasn't. It was the complete opposite of that. And it's insane how we can use denial in our lives. It's very, very powerful. And it's terrifying because I convinced myself that everything was okay, that there was nothing wrong or toxic about this relationship. But it was extremely toxic and detrimental to me, and it's had long-term effects. So I must have done that therapy for only a couple months, I think, like maybe a summer. And one thing I just want to point out, so the cost of that therapist, I think, was $130 per session. And that was extremely expensive. And that's pretty much the going rate for therapy. And I wasn't having regular work at this point. I had savings, but I didn't want to dip into it. And I said, okay, I can't pay for this. And I called her and I said, listen, I have to cancel my next appointment because I simply don't have the money. And she reduced the price of the session to $30 a session. So that was incredible. And that's the first point that I want to make, is that if you can't afford the rate that the therapist is asking, tell them your situation, and they can most likely reduce the price. So that was amazing, and I got the reduced price, but it just wasn't working for me, and I had to make some serious changes in my life before I can make real changes in my life, if that makes sense. So when that relationship ended, not the relationship with the therapist, but the relationship with the person I was dating, I moved back with my parents for a little bit. I didn't have therapy at that time, and then I found a place on my own, which is the place I am sitting in now. And I have to tell you, finding a place to live on my own was probably the best decision I have ever made. It really has made me reflect on who I am without another person around me to kind of validate that. And it's been hard because a lot of times I'm just sitting here alone and I'm like, okay, what am I? What am I doing? I'm alone here. And it was really scary at first. And if you've listened to other episodes, that was the period where I started going out way too much, being overly social, dating people I shouldn't have been dating. And it kind of just added on to the problems that I had been pushing along for years. So as I stated before, I thought that my beliefs on anxiety and depression and all that was that it was either situational or that it was just some chemical imbalance in your brain. And I'm a registered nurse, and the thing is that Western medicine is very focused on medication. And I thought that if I had anxiety or depression, that I was going to be just told to go on medication. And I was afraid of that because I don't know. I don't know exactly what I was afraid of. But I didn't think that I was in a bad enough state to require medication. So I didn't even acknowledge that I had any sort of problem at all. And I thought that I was, and I remember saying, I love my life, I'm living a great life. But in reality, if I had just listened for a second longer, my insides were screaming at me, being like, you are not okay. And I was struggling with just getting sick all the time, needing a lot of mental health days. I felt like I physically couldn't go to work a lot of times. And I thought again that this was just because being a nurse is hard. And I thought that it was just always going to be like this. This was just my life. And unless I changed professions, that this is just how it was going to be. So I continued kind of always hanging out with friends, drinking more than I should, staying out late, not getting enough sleep, not eating properly, not exercising. And my kind of statement was just like, I'm living my best life. That's what I thought I was doing. And everything just kept adding up and adding up. And I didn't realize that I was stressed because I wasn't listening to myself. And it got to a point where I started feeling numb and dissociated. Dissociated is kind of this feeling that you're going through your day, but your brain is super foggy and you might kind of be losing touch with reality because you're so unhappy with your life that you don't want to believe it's real. And I was doing that subconsciously, and it was kind of a protective mechanism because I was scared to feel what I was feeling. So it turned into me starting to have these panic attacks, and it would happen kind of in the metro because I guess closed doors, all these people around, I guess I started having a bit of like agoraphobia, which is fear of large crowds. And I remember thinking it really freaked me out that all of these people had lives going on and I would never really know about them. And these people that I'm just passing, and I'm just like passing them in the hallway, or, and I'm not acknowledging that this is a whole other person that has this whole other life that is complex and emotional. And it, the thought of that just totally overwhelmed me. And I was like, if my life is so complex and emotional, and I'm realizing all these things about me, then every single person is realizing this too. And the kind of largeness of that, I forget the word I'm thinking of, but it terrified me, the how many people there are in the world and how many people that you will never know, but that are still important. And I started, I think, having a bit of these existential crises. And I, when I was in the metro or other times, I started feeling like my respiration's increasing and feeling like I needed to get out. And it's kind of like this feeling of impending death. And it's really scary. And I would start focusing and I'd be like, okay, I can make it to the stop that I want to get out at. I don't have to run out of the metro. And I would try to force myself not to get up and run, because if I thought that if I started to run, then it would get really worse. So I would just kind of sit paralyzed in my seat and start breathing really heavily. Sometimes I would text someone, I'd be like, I don't know what's happening. Nothing feels real. I don't know, like, is this real right now? Like, what is happening? And it was really scary. And I, at that point, that happened a few times. And I said to myself, something is wrong. Maybe my life isn't all that great after all. And I think that I should seek professional health. So, back when I had had the burnout, oh, I forgot a whole piece of the story. When I had my initial burnout, I did actually go on to my hospital's website for employees, and there was an employees assistance program, and I had like four free sessions with a psychologist, and it was a phone conversation, and I have to tell you, those were not great phone conversations. I don't know who they hired. Maybe they weren't actually a psychologist or a psychotherapist. I'm not exactly sure, but I remember saying the things that were going wrong at work. And the person just said, well, it's not just in your profession. And I was like, okay, I didn't say it wasn't in other professions, but I'm just saying that I'm having a really hard time. And they made me feel so ashamed for thinking that I had problems. And they said, like, it was just horrible. And they had given me like this link to read these things about stress. And I, of course, didn't read them because I was in a state of anxiety and I couldn't read a document about stress. It was just like I was not in a place to just read some document. That's the whole thing about mental health, and you're not able to see the help that's in front of you. You can't understand it. And like we had another session and she was like, "Well, did you read the document?" And I was like, "No, I didn't." She's like, "Oh, well, I mean, you're not going to improve then." And it was just, that was the first thing that kind of really turned me off the situation. So, I don't know if you just heard my phone ringing. I apologize if you do. I canceled the call. So, I just had another realization. Even when I was in CJEP, I tried to go see a counselor because I felt something was wrong, but I didn't know what, and I felt like I had a problem, and I just didn't feel right. And I went to see a counselor, but it was right before summertime, so I had like two sessions, and it didn't do anything, and I didn't complete it after. See, so I knew there was something wrong for a long time. But I let it get to a point where it really started to affect my daily life, and I didn't understand it. It's hard to understand. It's hard to deny it. It's hard to think, well, no, I just have trouble focusing, or I just have, nobody likes going to work, or everyone has a hard life. And it gets kind of played down. And you think that going for help, especially professional help that costs money, you think it might be a waste. You think that you're exaggerating. But I can assure you're not. And if I've learned anything in therapy, it's that everyone should go to therapy. I don't care if you think that you're perfect. Everyone should go to therapy. There is deep-seated issues in everyone, especially in the world today, and what we've come on, like what where we've come from, generations before us. There is some pretty deep-seated issues in the generations before us. And I can almost guarantee that it has been passed on, like poor coping mechanisms have been passed on through those generations to you. And I'm so sorry, I dropped my phone. I hope you guys don't mind. I haven't set up my new microphone yet. I'm still recording on my phone. And I mean, it's just real here. You'll be getting some better quality coming in February. I promise. So where was I? Yes, therapy. So now to the happy part of the story. I reached out again to my employee assistance program, which your work might have. And you should look into it because you often get multiple free sessions that potentially are renewable. And I was lucky enough to be paired up with a psychotherapist that works very well with me. It is almost Oh, it has been 2 years now, I believe. I think it's exactly been 2 years that I've been doing weekly sessions. And it has changed my life completely. I have learned things about myself and about the control that I have over my own emotions that I never thought were possible. So, I really urge you to reach out to your employee assistance program. See if your insurance covers a portion of your insurance. My insurance covers 50%, and the therapist that I am with works on a sliding scale based on your salary. So I have a reduced rate because of that. I've used up all my free sessions, but I get 4 free sessions a year, which is cool. And potentially those can be renewed if your therapist feels necessary or if they can ask again. If your work doesn't have an employee assistance program, if you do not have insurance, there are multiple places that still work on a sliding scale system, and you can submit your receipts in your income tax. So you might think like it's a big investment, and it is, but it is probably the best investment that you're going to make in your life because it will help you establish your needs and who you are and self-care tactics that really are going to make your day-to-day so much less painful and it's n no therapy is no longer and never should have been just for people that are having a psychotic break or that have really deep mental health issues. And I think that a lot of doctors are not fully trained in the benefits of talk therapy, and they often will go the medication route, which can really help when someone is in a really state of panic or anxiety, and I don't disregard that at all. But what studies are showing now is that, well, okay, I don't want to say what studies are showing exactly because I currently don't have the links to any. I will for sure do my official research, and in further episodes, I plan to post this, but I don't want to give you any information that isn't true. So please don't quote me on anything. But the research that I've done for myself is steering away from the idea that depression or anxiety and things like that are this imbalance of serotonin or things like that, and more towards that it is repetitive, destructive behavior to yourself, which is based on decisions you make and coping mechanisms you use, which is kind of learned when you're a child. So the benefits of talk therapy really make you unwind those issues and learn new things to help you manage and learn who you really are. I'm not saying don't go on medication. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the combination of the two, if you do want to take medication, I think is necessary. I don't think that the problem can solely be changed with medication. That is my opinion. Do not quote me on that yet. So, if you're considering therapy, I highly recommend it. Find a therapist that works well with you. See if your work has an employee assistance program. Look in your city if you have an organization that uses a sliding scale based on your salary. In Montreal, we have the Argyle Institute, Argyle Institute. And there's multiple more, I believe. I'm going to leave it at that today. Sorry for dropping my phone, getting a phone call during the episode. I'm happy if you stuck with the episode. I promise in the coming weeks, you're going to see some great new audio when I set up my new mic. It's super cool. And we also have some very exciting things happening. New website, Instagram, things like that. Stay tuned, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.